Blog Talk Radio.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Show everybody here on Journey into the Light. John Lennon there. Give peace a chance, still relevant today. And you're joining in on the Jessica Brodkin Hour with her special guest this show with Steve Marshall. So here is Jessica and Steve.
Hi. Welcome to Accidentally Spiritual with Jessica Brodkin. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Wednesday. We're so grateful to have you on our show. So today we have a very special guest. This is Accidentally Spiritual, where we talk about people who have gone on a spiritual journey in a surprising way and use it in their life in an unusual manner. And today we have a very special guest, one of my favorite human beings, and a very funny comedian who's been in the business maybe about 30 years or so. Please welcome Steve Marshall.
Hey, can you hear me? I want to make sure I'm on the air.
Yes, you're on the air. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's
Hi,
here.
So
it's
good.
You and me. So I'm so happy to have you. Just you. Just you and me and the listeners. Then we're all set.
Right.
Thank you for being here.
You're so welcome. I want to ask you, the name of the show again is called
Accidentally Spiritual. Yes.
I think that's a great title for the show, because so many things in life do happen by what seem like accidents, but I think you and I would call them coincidences, and I think sometimes you and I would call them not coincidences, almost psychic experiences. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, for me, it definitely feels like destiny, fate, and like soul mission. So, and I think I love that you are a comic who really just sees the matrix. And I think as a messenger and someone who reaches so many people every night, either when you're in New York City or on the road, it's really beautiful.
Yes, I as you know, not only am I trying to make people laugh, but at the same time, so important every night that I get across to them to stop hating. And, you know, this has become such a world where people so put so much emphasis on business and respect for people who are business people. And I'm not putting business people down, but you know what? Humanity is not an expense on a balance sheet. Do you know what I mean? I think when we start talking too much in terms of dollars and cents, we start to not make sense, and we neglect things like humanity, kindness. And I think you and I sort of also did accidentally fall into this, because I started out as an accountant.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're a CPA, right?
No, I never got to CPA. What happened was I went to State University of New York at Buffalo, got a degree in accounting, and then was hired by Price Waterhouse at the time, one of the top eight firms in the country. And
it's
I wanted to be a comedian. It's still very tough. That's correct. I try and be humble about the whole thing. You know, I think that's part of being spiritual is also being humble because and not humble like small or tiny, but humbled by the fact that I'm just, you know, one little molecule floating out there with all the other wonderful molecules of animals and trees and plants. And you know, then people come to see my act, and my act is so crazy. You know, it's got graphic sex, and it's got, you know why? Because
really
life
crazy.
Has graphic. Yeah, because life has graphic sex. Do you know
I
what
mean,
I mean?
Mine
I think,
does, but not everybody.
Yeah, because you know what? Oh, yeah, you're always up to something. Let me tell you something. You are so alive. When you're an alive person and you're in the now, all these words that people use, and that's another thing. I'm so tired of people reading the books and doing the jargon but not really living it, you know, just talking the talk but not walking the walk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be a spiritual person when it fits you. You know, it's got to really become a part of you, and be a spiritual person all the time, which is mean being kind to people, showing respect for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned down a big job with Price Waterhouse and pursued a very long career, trying, can I say this, trying to become a stand-up comedian. Not becoming a stand-up comedian, but trying. It was so hard. So many rejections. So much, almost poverty.
You think I don't know? You think I haven't been? But we're telling the audience. I unfortunately am very familiar with the poverty of stand-up comedy. And now
we make them? Yeah. Now you what?
Yeah. And now there's Crashing on HBO, which really demonstrates the difficulty of stand-up.
It is so hard out there. It is not. Look, everything's hard in life. Being a mother is hard. You know, anything. I think anything that you do with integrity comes hard. If you want to steal jokes, it might not be so hard. If you really want to be a good person in life and you have integrity and you're honest, I can always tell whenever I get in a cab in New York City with a cab driver, I always compliment them on their honesty because anybody that's doing that job has to be honest. Anybody who's in debt has to be honest. Anybody who's, you know what I mean?
I'm very honest.
Just,
Sorry. No, my debt is under control, but definitely there.
Yeah. So I've tried to, I got into comedy, and it took me many years, and I keep going broke. I was teaching accounting by day, and then going on it at night and trying out my stupid little jokes and bombing, and then having to wake up early and go out and teach accounting and business law and math. And then I was actually getting more laughs in my classes. I was killing the students. And then, but at night it was just very, very hard and no sleep. And it just took me a very long time to catch on. And I'll tell you what happened also by accidentally spiritual. I was doing these things called prom shows late at night where the high school kids
went. Yes, I watched the prom show when I was at my prom, and I may have seen you. It was at Dangerfield.
Yes. And so these prom shows, the students – no, that's all right. Listen, I'm OG. I'm original gangster. And for you Jewish people, I'm OJ, original Jew. because it takes a long time to be good at comedy. Jerry Seinfeld said it takes 10 years, you know. You still there, or are we getting interference? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you.
Still there, or are we getting some interference? Jessica?
Yes, Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
You're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I'm here.
Okay, so, you know, so in other words, so accidents, talking about accidents today and accidentally spiritual, I had been doing the prom shows, and the high school kids were just so vicious. They would just, you would tell a joke, and they would just yell at you, suck, drop dead, kill yourself, you know? And then one night, all the comedians would do their act and bomb. And I mean, this is bomb. And one night I went on, and the kid told me I suck, and I said, I suck. I go, you suck. Your whole family sucks. your mother, bleep, bleep, bleep. And they started laughing so loud, and I just started fighting back with them, and I became the crazy, not behaving uncle, and they loved me. And that accident became my prom act. Then a couple of years
Stop
later,
it.
I said,
"Are you kidding? That's so funny. That's kind of like Don Rickles, who just passed away, right?
Yeah,
because
like
he just started insulting the audience."
Yeah, it was just I fought back, and none of these, all these people were like, "You have to behave. You have to behave." You know, my whole motto is, "Don't behave. You have to behave. You have to behave." They're little kids. Well, I told them what for and more, and they loved me for it. And then 2 years later, I said, you know,
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Know.
I think that is really an important lesson in what you're saying, in terms of, like, you can, if you're yourself instead of following the rules, you're much happier. And I think that that's something that's a thorough line between your life and my life, in terms of we don't, like, I obviously did not follow the rules. I pulled the healing business somehow out of thin air. I don't know how this happened, you know.
You went in the woods to meditate, aren't I correct?
I went in the woods to meditate. I saw spirits, and then I became a healer. It was very biblical, I guess.
You and I also, I hate this word, I say experiential, and then people correct me, experiential. Listen, people that are correcting your grammar are not listening for the message. But we and I have spoken about this, how you and I, so much of what happened to us didn't come from a class. And believe me, we know a lot about school because, can I say, do your listeners know, can I say you went to MIT?
Yeah, sure.
Do your listeners know how you went to MIT? I mean, I can't tell you what a top school. The listeners also know that you only do things with initials. Then she went to the CIA. Okay.
Very
and
funny.
Then for lunch, she went to KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Only things with initials. So you
very
and I
funny.
Come from a very heavy academic where we're always being taught, these are the rules. These are the rules. And you want to elaborate on what happens when you let go of the rules?
I think when you let go of the rules, like, really magic happens. You know, for me, definitely that's when the magic happened in terms of my life. And it hasn't been, even since becoming a healer, it hasn't been like a smooth ride the whole time. I got divorced, all, you know, all that jazz. That's been an adventure.
You know, that all that jazz is very important, the getting divorced, because we can't avoid things that happen in life. They say 50% of Americans, their marriages end up in divorce. Now, when I got divorced, my life was seemingly destroyed. I was at a high point. I was at the Los Angeles Improv. By the way, I can't believe it. Don't you always call me and tell me, like, the moon's in retrograde or this is happening. But you're so true. Everything that happened 30 to 40 years ago that I failed at, I'm doing better at the second time. In 1993, I left the Los Angeles Improv on Christmas Eve to come back east with my wife to celebrate Christmas on the East Coast. Ended up getting divorced. Never went back to the Improv. I was so scared that my wife and I, you know, I just didn't want to live further in Los Angeles. Moved out in the middle of the night with suitcases to another apartment that I had been subletting. And had $1.70 in the bank. I swear, listeners, I had $1.70 in the bank for over a year and a half. Every time I would get money, I would just pay my phone bill. Every time I would get money, I would pay Con Ed. Every time I got money, I paid the rent. For 2 years, $1.70 in the bank. And I am going back almost 27 years later on May 14th to do the Los Angeles Improv. On a real show,
God.
A lot of well-known people. So
it's 27 years. 27 years is a Saturn return also.
Is it really?
Yeah. Saturn return is every 28
years. So is that what's
years.
Happening in my life? Is that because
you go through different phases. You go through different phases. Mm-hmm.
I was, nobody will believe this, but the first time I ever walked into the comic strip in New York City, I was a very young boy. It was 1977. The club was not even open yet. Do you know, for the first time, I'm doing paid spots at the comic strip now. 40 years
what?
Later.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not waiting 40 years to get paid at the comic strip. Okay, I don't have patience
for
that kind
of
shit.
We're now moving from accidentally psychic into the premeditated Jewish portion of the show. listen, well, we're both Jewish, which is a different type of spirituality, and it is spiritual. Can I say, I got to say it. You know, I do worry about my money, but it's my parents' fault. My parents taught me the value of money the old-fashioned Jewish way. My parents used to withhold tax from my allowance.
Stop it. That is the funniest. I really wish my parents did that because I would be in a better situation with the IRS right now.
Well, let me tell you, my parents never helped me out because once I decided not to be an accountant, I didn't fit their image of me. And when I didn't fit their image that they wanted for their son, my sister, who's now my other mother since my mother passed away, my sister said to me, when you turn down Pricewaterhouse, Mom stopped loving you.
Oh, that's really painful.
Because I didn't fit the image. You know, sometimes you see guys with what they call trophy women, and I'm a feminist. I hate that term. And woman is more of what I would call
a major feminist.
Yeah, I am. I'm wearing a pad right now.
No one wears pads anymore. Nobody wears pads anymore, Steve.
Listen, new to feminism. I'm new to feminism. Well, you know what? That's because I'm a 90s feminist. I'm a hardcore feminist like Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem. All right. Hey, I'm still trying to make it through the female eunuch.
You are so funny. I don't know what to do with you. I'm so glad you need your own show. I really think so.
I love just being on this show, and I hope like people also hear when we're speaking. Like, we have no script, and I did a one-man show called Nobody Told Me because nobody told me how hard life was going to be. But you know what? People don't talk like when you watch comedians do their act, they put all the dating jokes together, then they put all the religion jokes together. That's not the way people talk. People talk in a more meandering fashion. And you want to know something? If you don't meander in life, you're not going to allow an accident to happen. You get what I'm saying? I see people, they have lists. Every day they have a list of things to do, and heaven forbid they deviate. But don't you know that if you don't deviate or take a risk to meander, you may not find out who you really are?
Right.
I deviated from accounting. I took a risk to get off the script and found something that I love to do. I love making people laugh. I love it so much. Oh,
and you're so good at it.
Thank you so much. I mean, thank you. I just want people to be really happy. Bull, I really like people that are happy, and I'll tell you, there's a very selfish reason for it. Because people that smiled didn't hurt me when I was a child. Usually the people that were going to hurt me looked very angry. So I knew if I could make someone smile, because I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, public school system, Flatbush, you know what I mean? The real Brooklyn, where the people that have beards are Jews, not Italian women. And, you know, they're very...
Oh, my God.
This is going to be okay on the show. You know what I mean? Let me tell you another. Let me tell you another accident. How I got into kung fu. My friend Gianni.
I wanted to talk
comedian.
About. I actually have a list of what I wanted to talk about, but I can't get a word in edgewise. No, it's totally fine. I did really want to talk about kung fu.
I apologize. I know.
No. I'm totally kidding. But I did really.
No,
want to
I'm
talk
not
about kung
kidding
fu.
Because my biggest anxiety is my fear of. I get so happy. I'm like when you come home, like I'm like a puppy who's so happy that somebody's talking. So I get so happy and I talk so much. And then when I get off the show,
I love you,
I'll be like,
Steve.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I didn't shut up.
No, you're great. You're perfect. You're perfect. That's kind of like the first name of the show is of the show was It's All Perfect. So.
Right.
And now it's accidentally spiritual, which I think is more apropos. But anyway, please tell us about kung fu. And don't worry, awesome.
I guess another theme, because I always look for themes today, is if you're trying to do something and it doesn't work the first time, please come back to it the second time. Like the first time at the LA Improv didn't work, now I'm coming back again. The comic strip, I'm coming back to it again. I had always wanted to, I was doing karate, taekwondo in Brooklyn when I was 12 or 13, and I kind of got a scholarship to train with the adults. And one day my mother and I got in an argument. I was only a little kid. And I had to walk all the way, like 3 miles, with a little shopping bag with my karate gi in it. And my mother never came to pick me up that day. And I never went back. And many years later, I was given some boxing gloves and kicking pads from a Muay Thai fighter. He said, here, take these. I don't want them. And somehow a year later, I know this is going to sound funny, I had a Malaysian girlfriend. And I started doing kung fu because of her. Yeah, and that was like, again, that was like 30 years later. And I went back to kung fu, and then I don't want to give my age, but way over 40 45, 48, I was fighting full contact in the ring, which shows you age is, you know, really, it's what's in your mind. But I told you this. I do Xing Yi,
Steve is
blah,
one of
blah.
the fittest dude I know. He's one of the fittest guys I know. He's in really great shape. Good for
you know
you.
Why?
Because
I think
awesome.
It fits my – because I think I have that body image thing, but I'm not – it's on the borderline of being bad. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
My image of myself and physical fitness kept these animals off me. Unfortunately, and I'm saying this mostly to the ladies out there, unfortunately
mm-hmm.
men judge you based on your physical appearance. And
I
when
think
you
we
have
all
muscles
know.
And you're physically fit, yeah, especially considering this is, isn't this Sexual Harassment Awareness Month?
Oh, my God. Maybe.
I don't stop.
I hope so.
I'm all over the maybe. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I think this month, Donald Trump, he has to ask, may I, before he grabs their you-know-what.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, because I think a lot of my spirituality is tied into being kindness and safety. And when you're talking safety, I'm talking safety for women as well as men. And I think I saw so much – I saw men be so abusive to me. And I always say this, the men – that abuse men sometimes abuse women too, and the men that abuse women sometimes abuse men. Like they're just abusive son of a bitches, you know what I mean? You know, it's really
mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like we're off the track, but we're not. So I got into Kung Fu, and then once I learned Kung Fu, it wasn't so much to have to use it, but guys could read it on me that I can handle myself. And
people
when I
really
no
read your energy.
Yes, and when people read that I wasn't a victim, they backed off. A victim anymore, they backed off. And that's why I think I have such strong sentiments for women, because women very often are slight in stature, but don't mistake slight in stature for lacking power or energy or importance
mm-hmm.
in life. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very sensitive to bullying, and that's why I did the Kung Fu. And I want to say also about Kung Fu, a teacher told me that, a master told me, it's very easy to teach you how to fight to heal yourself. You heal yourself first, then when you heal yourself, you can heal others, and then you can fight. So
I
healing
mean,
is a very big part.
It is a very big part. I wanted to share that, well, there's a part of me that, as someone who's been an active healer for a while and who still gets healing, I don't know if we're ever done healing ourselves. I think that that's like personal growth in terms of we're
mm-hmm.
never done arriving. You need to be healed to a certain level, but I don't think we're ever done. And I guess the other thing is I started doing Qigong recently with a Qigong master
mm-hmm.
in New York, and it is absolutely life-changing. And I obviously thought of you and Kung Fu, and it's just amazing. I was doing Qigong to help ground me and to protect my energy when I work with
mm-hmm.
other people. And I felt
mm-hmm.
all of these spiritual masters in the room with us because he comes from this lineage of Taoist priests of like 18 generations. It's just pretty crazy. It really feels like it's from a superhero movie.
Because the Chinese and the Kung Fu believe in lineage, and the master will very often have somebody who moves in and lives with them. And that person will bring them tea and do minor chores, but really lives with them. And then he passes that on to him. And I think to be a Kung Fu master, not only do you have to be practicing Kung Fu for 10 years, you then have to teach it for 10 years. So how can, you know, all the young kids are so worried about, I hear so many 29-year-olds going, I'm going to turn 30. Well, if Kung Fu takes 20 years, right, and Jerry Seinfeld
mm-hmm.
said it takes 10 years, you know, to understand comedy. Stop worrying about being in your 20s and you know, let the 30s happen and let the 40s happen. And healing
mm-hmm.
is a continuous process. And you know what? Sometimes you're never completely healed. I want to share a quote from Rodney Dangerfield, you know, no respect, a great comedian, was so – he had no love as a child. His father was on the road as sort of a singing waiter. Yes, I know that sounds weird. And his mother never gave him birthday presents. I know this because, you know, I know the owner of Dangerfield's very well. And I saw an interview with him when he was in his 60s or 70s. It was a very casual interview on YouTube. And they said, like so many people say to me, because I'm always complaining about my childhood, and many of us
mm-hmm.
have complaints from our childhood. And people go, when are you going to let that go? They're so nasty. When are you going to get over that? And somebody said to Rodney, you had a bad childhood. Doesn't that ever go away? And Rodney got very tiny in his voice, and he says, nah, that never goes away. So healing is a continuous process, and pain, I lost my father when I was 15. Hopefully pain diminishes. But I think that's another thing, is not to try to be perfect, not to try.
Yeah.
You don't have to be 100% healed. You don't have to be 100% painless. It's part of life to have some pain.
Have to tell you, it's been an incredible journey being a healer. And one of the things that I keep seeing, it doesn't happen every day, but it happens often, that that people come in to be healed, and the things that they need healing with are the things that I need healing with. And so my clients are my mirrors a lot of the time, or they're mirrors to my past. So I have a teenage boy who's from a Russian immigrant family who's really stressed out. He goes to like the top high school in New York City, in Stuyvesant. He's so stressed out. And in healing him, I'm healing my own teenage self that is so in pain. And it's incredibly difficult to sit and watch him. Or I had a client come in who married her boyfriend who she met when she was 19, who was much older. I did the same thing. And I had a horrendous first marriage that was abusive, and I ran away in the middle of the night. And she had the same thing happen. So in these people, I end up healing myself, and we end up just working together, and our energy fields merge. It's really like such a weird experience. I don't even have words for it.
It's very honest what you're saying, because I always have this expression, you only know what you know. So
yeah,
how can you, I want to say this the right way, it's like when I went for Kung Fu, I wanted to be a fighter.
Yeah.
So I tried to train with people that fight. If you're being healed, it would make sense that the person that's healing you, if they have gone through your pain, they have experience, you know, they have the experience, and they hopefully have the empathy. And I think you're such an empath also.
Oh, yeah, it's a big problem in my life, but I'm working on it. It's getting
a big problem.
It's not a problem, but it's definitely a
no, say
I have
like,
to
no,
work
back.
Really
Let's...
hard. I have to work hard on protecting my own energy and not taking on the energy of my clients and of the people
that
I'm around.
Mean?
Because
I kind of know what it means, but what does that mean?
When I release, because I do energy work, the healing work that I do is energy work, and so I release people's negativity, and I used to take it on. I used to physically take on their energy, and it would cause me all sorts of problems and pain.
Do you
so
have an
now
example of that?
Because
I have my friend
depressed.
Matt.
I would get, if I would have a depressed client, they would feel better, they would stop being depressed, and then I would feel depressed.
Right.
Or someone who drank a lot. And I don't, you know me, I don't drink really at all. And so I healed this woman who was kind of an alcoholic. She stopped being an alcoholic. And I went out that night and I got drunk, which is like really not me. Not like me at all. So that's
well,
those are examples. And so I've worked. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't hang out with, I hope you don't cure some alt-rights.
Oh, my God. It's not quite like that.
Well, my friend Matt, who's a kung fu teacher, he had the same problem. He was helping people, and then he said, Steve, for a year, he kind of almost lost his mind. He couldn't focus, but he had healed somebody. Wow.
I mean, that no longer happens. I've learned how to protect my energy, but it's just like a whole process. Unfortunately, this has been an amazing conversation, but unfortunately we have to wrap up. I did want to ask, is there anything that you're promoting? Thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to promote what you have. So you can see Steve at the Comic Strip Friday at April 21st, the Los Angeles Improv Sunday, May 14th. And please follow Steve Marshall at Don't Behave. On Twitter, and
at
his
Don't
website
Behave,
is Steve Marshall.
No apostrophe.
That's right, at Don't Behave, no apostrophe, and website is stevemarshallcomedy.com. Thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I love you forever, and thank you for all the listeners for being here today.
Thank you so much. Love you, too.